92. Need some guys to do a little bass on this one. I once was supposed to see, but you stood me in, and knew that I'd never feel my soul. It made my heart numb and broke my name above, and just the talk of Jesus made me whole. Have the talk of Jesus, tell me all my troubles, hear our greatest cry, that's my
seated, church. Good to be back at the Lord's house tonight. Let me put it to you this way. It's good to be back with the Lord's people at the meeting house. And I appreciate the opportunity to gather with the church again tonight. Thank the Lord for his grace. I appreciate the Lord moving how he did this morning. Thank God for what he done, drawing on sinners, encouraging the saints. And I thank the Lord that he was glorified. I believe that this morning. And thank the Lord for his grace. I believe he had four saved at the jail, ain't that right, Brother Tim? Four saved at the jail today, so we rejoice in that. Thank the Lord for that. Brother Matt had a good service. Well, I asked him how'd it go. He just held his hands up like this. But we're just deliverers of the seed. Amen. Yes, ma'am, sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Brother Marty had a good service early this morning as well. Appreciate him and his ministry at the jail. Thank the Lord for his grace. I'm glad to be back in church tonight. Amen. Now, Sister Meeks told me, she said, preach as long as I want to this evening. So, anyway, direct all fire at her. Now, I didn't get to preach this morning. I hadn't preached the last couple of weeks as much as I have since I've been here. So, now, anyway, we're grateful to be here. We're going to follow the Lord this evening. Brother Ron, would you make your way around to the podium this evening if you don't care, if you ain't too much pain, ask you to pray over the service. Brother Terry will come around and sing another tonight. I'm glad to be at the house of God. And it's good to see everybody that we was concerned about. Glad to see Sister Janet back tonight. It's a blessing. And we thank the Lord for her. And y'all continue to pray for her. I told her not to do any of that anymore. And so we've been praying for her this week as a church. And then Brother Lord as well, he's going back in 2 weeks for surgery. Is that right? Amen. So let's remember him. Brother Charles just got out of surgery this week. So much going on, issues, health issues in the church. I hate to get started with that, or we'll never end tonight. But y'all pray. Pray for folk of the church that are hurting and sick. Good to see Brother Leo and Sister Sam back this morning. Of course, I'm sure they're watching this evening. Amen. Looking forward to the service. Brother Ron, come on, pray. God help the service. Brother Terry, you come on after that.
Before I pray, I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know, yes, I've got two kidney stones, but the preacher last week had said something about Welch's grape juice. Didn't know what it was about Welch's, but the grape juice is supposed to help kidney stones. I drank how many ounces when I got home? It's like 64 ounces, I think, something like that. Well, within 12 hours, I haven't felt it since. I mean, gone. I don't know if they're there or gone, or I had a UTI that week, but still bothering me, and it was gone. And Welch's grape juice works, or it was Brother Milton's prayer, or one or the other. I don't. All I can tell you is it works. So y'all remember that. God, thank you, Lord, for the message, for the sweet spirit that we felt this morning. God, I thank you for your love and grace. God, as we're here tonight, Lord, we're asking. That was this morning. We're here tonight. God, as we come this tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, would you please come visit us? I need you. I need you. I need your touch. I need your encouragement. Lord, I want to crawl up in your lap, Lord, and just make you love on us just a little bit. Make you love on me just a little bit. And God, let me know that you're still my father and I'm still your child. And Lord, to feel that, God, and to know it's real. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. Once again, I pray for each person, Lord, sitting in here tonight, God, and I pray for the ones that are listening on the Wi-Fi, God, and for those that really want to do this, Lord, but can, I pray for them too. Pray, God, you'll watch over us. Thank you for loving me so much. In your name, amen.
Let's do one more song on the last verse. Let's have the ushers come on up. Page 306.
That plan to take and step in the old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to take and step in the old gospel ship and go for beyond the sky. Oh, I'm going to shout and sing until then.
Tonight, I want to give you another opportunity to worship the Lord through giving, and I thank the Lord for the heart of the church, and thank the Lord for all the ministries that go out from this church, and the Lord always provides. Thank the Lord. I've already been here a short time, and I've already seen that to be so. Thank the Lord for good young men and Brother Clay up here tonight. Thank the Lord for him. Amen. Brother Clay, if you would pray over the offering, brother, ask the Lord to bless it in the service.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord, brother. Brother Terry asked us to sing tonight. My voice is a shot almost. This may just be Sister Charlie singing tonight, so y'all pray for us. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm glad he's all I need tonight. And he'll bring you to those places in life where he'll show you that. He'll bring you there sovereignly. And I'm thankful that when you do get there and you do get to that place where he shows you that you do really confess and say and testify, he's all I need.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call. All my needs,
yes.
He supplies my thirsty soul. He satisfies. He's the Lord of all. He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing. Time and time again. He's my soul's,
yes, he is,
inspiration, my heart's,
hallelujah,
consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to a friend that's closer than a brother. On this friend,
hallelujah,
I can rely,
yes,
to be my strength as time goes by. He's the Lord of all.
Yes.
He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing.
Time
and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation.
He's my
everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's my everything. He's all I need.
Amen. Thank God.
It's been a long, long road, and my soul's grown so weary. I just can't understand all the struggles within me. There's been times I've strayed away, even times I could not But somehow my faith would say,
yeah,
just hold on, there's a brighter day.
He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough.
Yes.
If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. 'Cause he never once ever gave up on me.
Thank God.
If your back's against the wall and you feel all hope is lost, have you often asked yourself, is there a reason to go on? Well, he looks beyond my guilt and shame. His mercy,
yes,
takes the blame. So forget about your past. Just praise the Lord, you're free at last.
He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough.
If you could see who,
yes,
I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. 'Cause he never once ever gave up on me. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. 'Cause he never once ever gave up on me.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother Nathan. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Yes. Amen, Brother Nathan. Thank God.
I've seen the righteous man suffered and hanged, and it looked like the wicked would go free. And in my frustration, that just didn't seem right to me. I asked you for sunshine, but you sent the rain. I cried for healing, and I only got pain. But I know your love will see me through. Lord, I still,
yes,
trust you. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you. you're able
yes.
to guide me through this dry, barren land. And when I don't know which way to turn or go, I still trust yes. you, Lord. So let me hold to your hand.
Hallelujah.
I trust you because you've been so faithful to me.
Oh, yes.
And you Hallelujah. Said in yeah. your word, I'll never leave yes. nor forsake Hallelujah. Thee. And Lord, I'll go with you until the end, 'cause your blood it has yes. cleansed me from all guilt and sin, and your promise I'll oh, yes. hold on to. Oh Lord, I love trusting you. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you, Lord, that you're able
yes.
to guide me through this dry, barren land. And when I don't know
yes.
which way to turn or go, I still trust you, Lord. So let me hold to your hand. I trust you because you've been so faithful to me. And you yes. said in your word, I'll never leave yes. nor forsake thee. And Lord, I'll go with you until the end. Your blood, it has yes, cleansed yes. me from all guilt and sin, and your promise I'll hold
That's
on
it.
To.
That's
oh Lord, I love trusting you. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you, Lord, that you're able to guide me through this dry, barren land. And when I don't know
yes.
which way to turn or go, I still trust you, Lord. So let me hold to your hand.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. He's so good, isn't he? What a wonderful friend. Savior, Captain. He knows the way. He knows the way. Knows the way to your life. Way through the storm. Matter of fact, His way is through the storm. I thank the Lord for that tonight. Hallelujah. About like you, Brother Ron, I appreciate when he holds me in his hands just for a moment. Hold me in his arms. Thank the Lord for that. Got a word on my heart tonight. I need to give it to you, church, and we'll go home. James chapter number 1, please. James chapter number 1, and I will be brief. Just want to encourage you in the Lord tonight. My thought tonight is just simply God's path to perfection. We dealt with it just a touch Wednesday night, but God completely derailed me. I told Charlie, I said, if the Lord will help me preach that, how He give it to me, we'll have to build a new building for next Sunday, because God helped me with this right here. And if He don't help you with it, that's all right. Maybe it's just for me. And I said in my study, rejoicing at this truth, the Lord reveals things through His Word. That's what He does to His children. And He speaks to you through His Word. He shows you things through His Word. He matures you through His Word. And I thank the Lord for this truth that the Lord has shown. No scripture is given by any private interpretation. It's all here. But the Spirit of God does open your eyes to some things. And I appreciate this truth tonight. James chapter number 1. I believe it'll be a help to our church. And those that are going through issues, difficulty, and hard times. And I pray the Lord will help you. God's path to perfection. I was thinking about starting it with God's misunderstood path to perfection. That'll be one of our points tonight. In the book of James, chapter number 1. If you found your place, say amen. The book of James, chapter number 1. In verse number 2, James says to the readers, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be, say it with me, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God's path to perfection. There are three different ways, we said Wednesday night, for us to interpret perfection in the Scripture. Of course, we saw that perfection could be studied as positional perfection, and it would still be true. Matter of fact, the most glorious and wonderful perfection that we have in Scripture, aside from glorified perfection, is the positional perfection that we have if we are believers. For example, accepted in the blood, Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. That is a position that we have if we're in Christ. Redeemed, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I stand before you tonight redeemed. And if you're saved, you're redeemed. I've also been quickened. It's a positional perfection. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Seated. Ephesians 2 and 6. We're seated together in heavenly places. He's made us to sit together in heavenly places. And this positional sanctification, rather this positional perfection, you have nothing to do with. He done it for you. And He is maintaining it for you tonight. You're quickened, you're accepted, you're redeemed, you're seated, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The book of Revelation says that you're kings and that you're priests in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's positional perfection. And whether you feel good, whether you feel sad, whether you feel great, whether you feel happy, whether you're laughing, whether you're crying, that's true of you. You have a positional perfection tonight. Second type of perfection in the Scripture is glorified perfection. Of course, what is that? Well, that's what's referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, or the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This is glorified perfection, and we don't have it right now, but we will have it one day. The old things will be passed away from this life. Any kind of veil of sorrow, all tears shall be wiped and washed away. Time will be no more. God will declare it. He'll cast death, hell, and the grave into hell. And forever we shall rejoice and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in a perfect body, in a perfect mind, with a perfect heart, in a perfect way. And I thank God for glorified perfection. The type of perfection we're looking at in the book of James, chapter number 1, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. This is a subject we're concerned with now because it is the issue that we deal with now, present perfection. It is God's will for you to be perfect. It is God's will for me to be perfect. Now, do not confuse this word perfect with sinless. We will never reach that till we get to the glorified perfection. That'll never happen. But the word perfect in our text is not the word or the meaning of glorified perfection or of positional perfection. Rather, it's the Greek word teleos, and it means to be full grown, an adult, mature. Teleos speaks of full development. When this word is used in the New Testament, it is always that thing or person that fully carries out the purpose in which it was designed. This is God's will for us, that we would be perfect. This is made abundantly clear to us from Scripture, abundantly clear. After 29 chapters to the Corinthians, Paul's departing words were these, "Finally, my brethren, farewell, be perfect." The departing words of Peter in 1 Peter 5, he didn't know he would write another letter, but as he's saying goodbye to the folks and the scattered believers that Peter was writing to in 1 Peter 5 and 10, he said, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." The Hebrew writer, as he's giving his goodbye words in Hebrews 13 and 20, said, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will." It is God's will and design that His people be perfect. You ask today, what is God's will for me? Oh, and how many times that is the question in believers' lives. And here you have, you've come back on Sunday night to worship the Lord. We've sensed the preciousness of Christ in this service and of His Spirit. And it immediately draws out, what is His will for me? What would you have me do? His will for you is that for you and me to be perfect. Now, I want to say this firstly. The path to perfection is many times misunderstood. The first sign of a non-adult is a resistance to discomfort, difficulty. My 2-year-old little girl sitting back there, I love her. I love her more than life can say. I love mama first, but I love Jesus first. But as far as on this earth, I love mama first and Charlotte second, right behind that. And Charlie stays concerned that I love Charlotte more than I love her. But I love my little girl. But she has zero time for discomfort or difficulty. Zero time for it. When it's time for, and if you want to test that, just try to force her to eat broccoli. There is misunderstanding that's going on in Charlotte when that time comes about. Sometimes when it's time for her to take a bath and she doesn't want to take a bath, she wants to play. There's misunderstanding. You see, it's not that we want to give Charlotte a bath because we've got a bunch of strength left over from the day, that we're wanting just to spend this next few glorious 30 minutes scrubbing and getting her ready and prepared, changing clothes and diapers and lotion and shampoo and soap and all that comes with that, making sure that she has the exactly right toys that she can play with at bath time. And she still doesn't want that. But we understand as parents that it's necessary for her. She doesn't like difficulty. She's a child. She misunderstands growing up. But it's necessary. She likes playing. She likes lightness. She likes her cartoon. She likes entertainment. And she likes to be held by daddy and mommy. It's a natural thing of a child. But if she stays in the state that she's in right now, let's say that she stops growing where she's at today, alarm bells, Brother Ron, are going to start going off in mommy and daddy. And we're going to be getting her to a specialist, to a doctor, to someone who can tell us why she's not growing anymore. Why her behaviors are not changing. Ain't that right, Brother Mike? We're going to be concerned over the fact that she's no longer growing, that she's no longer maturing, that she's not growing up. Many times we misunderstand the path to perfection because it is not comfortable. It's not comfortable. But it should alarm us when we're not growing. I made the statement last Wednesday night. I wanted to bring a name to you. The gentleman's name is Stanley. He's 36 years old. He lives further out west. And he thinks and identifies as a baby, 36. Has a crib for adult-sized people. Has a pacifier. Has a nursery. Has diapers. Eats baby food. Drinks milk. This is a true story. And is he... the state, he went against in a lawsuit to a state about his disability and won. And the state pays to keep this overgrown infant taken care of. But I say this to you tonight, that our Heavenly Father will not allow this to transpire in one of His children's life. He will not allow you to be an overgrown spiritual infant. He matures His own. The path to perfection can be misunderstood because we don't understand discomfort and we don't like it. You see, secondly, the tool God uses for perfection is difficulty. Trial, discomfort, pain, suffering, necessity, persecutions, sicknesses, pressing, mental suffering, emotional suffering. This is a tool that Jesus Christ uses in our life to make us perfect. It's not the easy times in your Christian experience that mature you. The way we would have it is ease. And when I say we. I mean your pastor to you and on and on and on to every member of this congregation, every member of this flock. The way we would have it is ease, constant comfort, lack of difficulty, and mental clarity. Are you listening, church? Matter of fact, we perceive that the Christian life, that as long as we pray, as long as we read the Bible, as long as we listen to Christian music, as long as we get in the glory, that we're growing. But it is not the good times that work to perfection. It's not comfort that worketh patience. James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When I read this week, I was just amazed. He said, not just to think good of it, not just to be, you know, with a kind of resistant allowance in us when we fall into diverse temptations, when we go through the trial of our faith. But he said, count it all joy. It's amazing. Count it all joy. This is a proof and an activity. This is a proof of His activity in you. Trouble is not a sign that something is wrong with you. The Lord helped me with this week. Trouble and difficulty in your life is not a sign that something is wrong with you. Rather, trouble and difficulty is a sign that Jesus is working in you. And though you may not feel it or sense it, and though you may not even perceive it, Job felt that way, didn't he? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right, that I cannot see him. But Job said in Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. That word knoweth is that he is very intimately involved with the way that I'm on. And
And when I am tried, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Trouble and difficulty, it's not a sign that something is wrong with you, but it is a sign that Jesus is working in you. You see, you know when you're getting a whooping. You know the difference between when you're getting chastised and God's developing you. You know when you've messed up and you need to fall down on your face and say, God, I'm sorry. Cleanse me. I've messed up again. Wash me. And he'll do it. And to bring you to that state, he will chastise. But you know the difference. Let me tell you something. I knew the difference when Daddy was spanking me as opposed to when he was trying to help me through difficulty. And you do too. And you do too. Hallelujah. He knoweth the way that I take intimately. So count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Hallelujah. The misunderstood path to perfection. Firstly, we notice. Secondly, the tool God uses for perfection. Which is difficulty, struggle, discomfort, pain, suffering, necessity, sickness. It can be death. It can be health problems. It can be mental issues. It can be emotional issues. But this is the way that God perfects or matures his people. Now, lastly tonight, the ultimate plan to God's path to perfection. The ultimate plan. I want you to notice something. A principle, rather, in the scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 2. The book of Hebrews chapter number 2. It's amazing truth, and I want you to see this tonight. Before we read this, I want you to know, and I know that you know this, that there is no imperfection in Jesus Christ. Zero. He lacks nothing. Nothing can be added to him. He is before all. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. He is the Son of God, and he is God the Son. There is nothing about him that is incomplete in any way or imperfect in any way. Nothing. But I want you to notice some scripture tonight. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 9. First off, these four words right here that lead off this text, that's the whole drive of what I'm preaching tonight. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Listen, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Listen, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth, in verse number 11, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Do you see tonight? Our heavenly Savior, our Heavenly Father, our precious Lord, who never lacked anything, nothing could be added to him. He is full and complete and perfect. But he chose to be made fully perfect through suffering. That is to say, in verse number 18, this explains it of Hebrews chapter number 2. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. And church, hear me tonight. Hear me. The Son of God was made perfect through sufferings by the sovereign plan of God. And it is His will in your and my life that we are made perfect through the sufferings of this life. Hallelujah. But you see, this is not a series that gets started at mega churches. This does not sell. We want a drive-through religion where we can drive through and get our happy meal and feel good and go home with our toy and be gassed out by the time we get to next week's service and need another happy meal and another happy meal and another happy meal. I'm telling you tonight, that is not God's plan for His people. He longs to take you to spiritual maturity. And He will get that done in your life. He will get that done in your life. He will do that job, willingly or unwillingly. He's going to get it done in your life. Why? Because this is the path that God chose for His Son. And may I say to you that Jesus Christ the Lord, because He hath already suffered, He's able to succor them who also are tempted. And dearly beloved, can I say to you tonight that there's never been anything you've ever gone through, nor anything that you ever will go through, that He doesn't understand because He suffered it already. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, He made Himself of no reputation. And this is the mind that Paul said should be in you and I. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Him. And see what Satan is doing in the church is he's trying to get it in our mind to have equality with God, that we know better than Him. That we know better than Jesus. But this is a falsehood. But Christ is our example. For He made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Himself a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did this so that Hebrews 2:18 might be true, that He might suffer being tempted so that He could succor you in your trial, in your temptation, in your trial of faith, in your difficulty, in your struggle, in your suffering. He suffered so that He could succor and help you in your suffering. Listen, it's more than that. He just had nails put through His hand and a crown of thorns on His head. He suffered so that He could help you. He loves you so much. He suffered so that He could help you through your trial and through your pain. I say, oh, what a Savior tonight. Hallelujah. And that is why the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter number 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. For we have not an high priest, Hebrews 4:14 tells us, that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's no trial of your faith that you've ever went through. There's no difficulty and season in your life that you have ever went through that Jesus has not already suffered. Hallelujah. He suffered abandonment and alienation on the cross. He suffered his friends turning his back. He suffered physical calamity. Suffered the loss of all things. He never had no money, but he suffered the loss of that too. He never had no house, but he suffered the loss of that too. He had children, and they turned his back on him. You name it, he suffered it, but he suffered it so that he could succor you and help you and aid you. Hallelujah. You see, looking unto Jesus, he's the one we look to. Because if we go through this life and suffer difficulty, we'll be so confused why all this is going on, why we're having this struggle, why we're going through this, why we're walking through this valley, why we're suffering this difficulty, why we've got this pain in our brain, why we've got this situation going on in our mind and in our thought life. We'll begin to feel sorry for ourselves and say that this is not the way the Christian life is supposed to go. But I say, if you're saved and you're suffering, you're right on track because Jesus is working in you. Hallelujah. Well, what's he doing? What's he doing, Brother Jay? 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to read you a text. We preached it not long ago. Paul says, in verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians 4, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." There it is. Behold him. Look at him. Looking unto Jesus. Now listen. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." What treasure? The treasure that is Christ. This treasure, Jesus Christ. "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Do you see that? Any preacher that's ever preached with the power of God has not preached of his own power. Every minister that's ever ministered to you has not ministered to you out of their own power, but it's this treasure in earthen vessels that does the work. Now listen. 2 Corinthians 4. Are you ready? Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." God is interested in the life of Christ that's inside of you getting out. Stephen Furtick is not preaching this tonight. You say, "Now you're meddling, Brother Jay." Now I'm calling an apostate. Joel Osteen is not preaching this tonight. Are y'all hearing me? Now I'm going to be careful about naming anything beyond this, but I want you to know something. If there's some lollipop Christianity that's seeping into your ears and into your family, reject it and turn to the Word of God for truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's ultimate plan is to form you into the image of His dear Son, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in your body, so that when you go through trials, When you go through difficulty, when you go through pain, when you go through misunderstanding, when your mind's a bumblebee's nest, yesterday you were in good shape, but today God's taking you through the valley. God's plan is that the church sees Jesus and that the world sees Jesus. Old boy down at the job site, boy, I know he goes through that. I know that Jay fella goes through the same problems I do. You know, he's got a lot of issues going on in life. But, you know, I know he's got the same, but he's just, there's something different about him. You, where you're at, those that are in that in your job and in your place and in your positions and in your family and in your home and in this church, going through difficulty, going through pain, and some of you I know have went through some horrible pain and difficulty, but I'm seeing Jesus. Do not resist the work that God is doing in you. Why? Because He's growing you up. This is not milk tonight. This is not milk. And it's a truth that many in today's current South American at ease, beautiful buildings, we got everything together, we got all the stuff, we got a little bit of money in the bank account, we're fine till next week, we've got our children's future plan, our grandchildren's future plan, we're not even worried about next week for ourselves, we're going to eat for them, now we're working on our great-grandchildren's financial future. Y'all listen to me tonight? But this is a truth that God will work in His children's life the path to perfection. And you can trust Him. Hallelujah. So count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when your faith is tested, because through the suffering, the life of Jesus will be made manifest in your life, and we won't see you. The lost won't see you. We'll see Jesus. So just lean into the discomfort, because that's where Jesus is. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. You know what that word wanting means? It means just what it says in Psalms chapter number 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means you've walked through the valley. You've walked through the trouble. You've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And you've seen the faithfulness of Christ. And you've said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David had been taken down the path of perfection, and he said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not joy that's found in the absence of trouble. Joy is not found in the absence of trouble. See, we've got that just backwards. That if I can just get away from the difficulty, that somehow, Brother Ron, that I'll be joyful. And that I'll be just absolutely glutinous with approbation. Do y'all know what that means? Me neither. My father-in-law says it to sound fancy. But my father-in-law's listening. I love you, father-in-law. But you see, that is not the path to joy. That is not the path to peace. That is not the path to perfection. That is not the path to maturity and being grown up. And I've often wondered, I've heard it said so many times, why does good things bad things have to happen to good people? Well, first off, there ain't been no good people since 2,000 years ago, and they killed him. There ain't been a good person born. But listen tonight. I've seen the faithful children of God be taken into the valley. And then I go to try to encourage them. And I leave encouraged, saying, Lord, I got a long way to go. I'm talking about perfection. How many of us in here tonight want to grow up in the Lord? I do. I want to grow up and be perfect. And entire, wanting nothing, well then count it all joy when you go through difficulty and lean into it, knowing this, that the Lord is working on you. And when you come forth, when He has tried you, when He has been allowed to do His perfect work, you'll come forth. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, Brother Clay, and experience hope. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. What is the most astute picture of the love of God? Jesus Christ. So quite literally, when tribulation works in your life, when difficulty works in your life, it works patience. And when patience works in your life, Brother Matt, when tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. And then experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed because you see Christ now. That's what the Lord is doing in your life and in my life. Now this is easy preaching. Easy preaching. But I want to tell you something tonight. This is the way. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Trust Him. Believe on Him. Look at Him. Count it all joy. 1 Peter 5, he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And consider Him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I'm telling you, church, God has you on a path. And it is the path to perfection. Not one child of God that He's ever saved has He ever sat there and said, you know what, I think I'll let this one stay a baby. Not one. Not one of His babies has He ever said, hey, I think I'll just let this one remain an infant. I'll close with this. I was a spoiled, rotten brat growing up. Now, Charlie would argue that I still am. I'm tough on Charlie sometimes, ain't I? It's a little tough. But if y'all just knew. But, and I'm sure if my dad and mom was here, they would vouch and say, yes, he was a spoiled, rotten brat. But I'll tell you this. Let me tell you this, church. Mom and Dad, I have a mother who would rather have cancer as to me have a cold. And even in the life of my daughter, Charlie's here to testify of it. Sister Julie, if you would, just come to the piano and play softly if you don't mind, sister. Charlie's here to testify of it. She will not let that child sitting back there, if she even whimpers a little bit of aggravation, Grandma is all over that. I mean, like that. There ain't no crying. She's going to make some kind of form of distraction to get her. And I told Mom and Dad, we were talking one night, my sister and I and Dad and Mom, we were talking about it. I told Mom and Dad both, I said, I'm confident I had the greatest parents on the face of the planet. I thank God for that. Listen, if you had good parents, thank God for that. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. And thank Him for that. That's not been the experience of every human being on this earth. A lot of times we get lost in that and think, you know, that's just how everybody's experience was. No, it's not been. But I did have a good daddy and a good mama. And mama, in my life growing up, daddy too. If I ever had any little bit of a problem, Sister Sue, Sister Vickers, I'd run to Mom and Daddy. And they'd fix it. You say, well, that's wonderful. But you do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And pretty soon, you'll have an 18-year-old boy about ready to graduate high school. And once he gets bumped just a little bit with some trouble, he's going to fall to pieces. The greatest generation was the greatest generation because they struggled. Not because they had it easy. Matter of fact, there's a principle to this. Hard times make good people. Good people make good times. Good times make bad people. And bad people make bad times. That's just, listen, that's for free. That wasn't in the notes. Now that's just a small little archetype of this larger truth that I'm talking about tonight. Let me tell you something. The Lord will let you grow up. He wants you to walk. Let me tell you how this connects to what we've been studying on Wednesday night. How many of y'all been here on Wednesday night? Raise your hand. Many of you have through this little series. That's a majority of you. The series on the church. See, as you suffer, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 7, I'll tell you the strangest thing. One of my days this week in my normal Bible reading was 1 Corinthians 7 and 8. Well, I messed up and I turned over there to 2 Corinthians 7 and 8. I thought I'd messed up, but I got help out of 2 Corinthians 7 and 8. Anyway, you can say what you want to about that. Say, that's superstition, but it's for believers only, y'all. Be fine. But Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, I was pressed beyond measure. He said, without were fightings and within were fears. He said, but I was comforted by Titus. See, Titus had left Corinth to come to Paul. He said, I was comforted because Titus came to comfort me. He said, it's amazing. Right there, right below that, Paul's talking about when he came into Macedonia. Right below that, he said, I was pressed, perplexed, fightings outside, fears inside. When Titus came, I was comforted. But he was comforted by you. And see how God will work in this. Is it Sister Diane? He'll let you go through struggle. He may let me go through struggle. Not may. There's no may about it. He's going to. He'll let me go through struggle. And he'll walk with me through that. And I'll lean into him. And he'll succor me and he'll help me and he'll walk me through that difficulty. And when he's brought me in through, I'll come in here and you'll say, Brother Jay, I'm really going through a tough time. And I'll say, Miss Diane, it's going to be okay. He's working on me. And Brother Terry's going to go through a tough time. And when I'm down, he's already done it since I've been here. Many of you have already done it since I've been here. We've tried to do the same thing for you. The body is compact and fitly joined together so that we minister to one another and Christ ministers through us, that the life of Christ might be manifest in our flesh. I tell you, when you might be concerned is when you're not going through anything. Let me say this. Rejoice in the seasons where things are tranquil. Rejoice in that. And we worship and we thank God for that. When our mind's clear, when our emotions are good, when our family's good, when the kids are good, when the husbands and wives, not husbands, plural. The husband and wife is plural. It's good. Everybody's good. Rejoice in that. Be grateful for that. But when you're really getting developed is when you're in the valley. And when you're struggling. When you're going through difficulty. Because God's path to perfection, God's path to spiritual maturity in your life is a blessed path that every single Christian who has ever matured has walked. And you can trust Him tonight. You can trust Him. Let's all stand. If you need to pray, come on, let's pray. Gather around the altar. Say, Brother Jay, I have been going through it. I promise you tonight. I promise you, He'll succor you, He'll help you. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need to pray, come on and pray tonight. Hallelujah.